This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we continue with our lesson on in Aqidah on the issue of Qadr, the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us. To link with the last lecture, we believe in the Qadr of Allah, we believe in the destiny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written, but we don't ask too many questions about it for the simple reason that nobody can answer some of the questions. If somebody, especially if you say, why did this happen, why to me, sometimes people in the case of calamities, tragedies, bereavement, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from these things, but these things happen. So in those cases, sometimes people say, why me? It's interesting, people don't say why me when they have good luck, so-called good luck, right? There's no luck, good or bad, but when something good happens to them, people don't say why me, but they say it's why me when something evil happens. That's really worth thinking about that as well. So there's no point in asking about that, because nobody can answer that. And also it opens the door when people then try to make explanations and they try to, you know, philosophize, all of which is prohibited in Islam. We do not speak about that about which we have no knowledge. Allah knows, but Allah does not compel. This is our understanding of the Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what choices we will make, but Allah does not force us. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us by giving us knowledge through His book and through His Rasul, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The exact nature of the decree, exact nature of Qadr, meaning why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed something, what is behind it, all of this is a secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. No angel near the throne, none of the muqarribin angels, malaika, nor any rasul, nor any nabi was sent with a message or has been given knowledge of it. Delving into it and reflecting or thinking too much about it only leads to confusion and loss, and it results in rebelliousness, or it results in depression. So be extremely careful about thinking and reflecting on the matter of Qadr, or letting doubts about it assail you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept knowledge of the decree away from human beings and forbidden them to inquire about it, saying in His book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means Allah said, la yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alun. He cannot be questioned, Jalla Jalaluhu, as to what He does, while they will be questioned. So anyone who asks, why did Allah do that, meaning He should not have done it, has gone against a judgment of the book of Allah. And anyone who goes against a judgment of the book of Allah is an unbeliever. So do not ask this question, why did Allah do, meaning Allah should not have done something like this. This is a kalima, this is a statement of kufr. If someone is saying that, knowing it, understanding it, then this person has actually committed kufr and left Islam and is no longer a believer. And if somebody says that, without understanding and in ignorance, then that person is ignorant. So we stay away from this. Please understand also that many times we get confused with the issue of choices. For example, you would have heard this question many times. If there is God, why is there poverty? If there is God, why is there sickness? If there is God, why are there wars? If there is God, why is there suffering? Now, very important to understand is that, yes, there is a God. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, and this is our yaqeen. But the question here is that, is Allah fighting the war? Just now, as I speak to you, now it is the 26th of November 2022, there is a war going on between in Ukraine, where Russia has invaded Ukraine. Did Allah invade Ukraine? So why question, why is there a war, why is there God when there is a war, when it is human beings who decide to wage war on one another? There are human beings who decide to glorify soldiers and who fight these wars, and therefore they make all these these statements. It is human beings who have created an interest-based system of financing which generates poverty, which creates poverty. It is human beings who are inflict suffering on one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us very clearly what helps and what doesn't help. Think about it like this. If, for example, a policeman is standing on the street and he's watching a shop being vandalized and he says, why doesn't the government do something? What will you say to him? The people will say to him, government did something, they appointed you as a policeman, you are a useless piece of action or inaction, and you are not doing what you should be doing. Go catch those people. Go stop the vandalizing. Now that's exactly what our situation is as human beings, and especially as Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in order to spread goodness in the land, in order to spread the benefit for everyone all over the world. So let us ask ourselves, am I doing my duty? If there is hunger, Am I feeding at least one person? If there is sickness, am I paying the bill of somebody who is in hospital and who cannot afford to pay their bills? If there is suffering, if there are wars, if there is inequity, am I at least minimum raising my voice against it? We have economies, entire countries and economies, which are based on the manufacture of weapons of mass destruction. The economy runs on that, by manufacturing these weapons and selling these weapons. Now think about this. If you are manufacturing weapons of mass destruction, what do you think those things do? You know what they do, because you are manufacturing them. And you are selling them to people whom? You are selling them to the worst of the worst in this world. You are selling them to the worst and the most evil dictators and people in the world, who buy those weapons from you to slaughter their own innocent people, and to maintain their oppressive rules in their lands. The people selling the weapons know very well to whom they are selling those weapons and what those weapons are being used for. And then when it happens, everyone seems to be very surprised. Oh my God, why did it happen? We should be ashamed of ourselves, really, as human beings. We should be, especially the so-called educated ones. Believe me, all these weapons are created, they are not created by ignorant fools or ignorant villagers in the Baghdad somewhere. These are created by highly trained, highly educated engineers and doctors and scientists. Right? So who do you want to blame? This is not a matter of qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this deen, has given us this religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us the right way. When you are told that this way leads to disaster, don't go there, and you still go, and you say, why doesn't God do something? Well, God did something. God did a lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his kitab, he sent his book, he sent his Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends people to us who will tell us the right thing to do. In Jummah khutbas we hear it, in bayans we hear it all the time. And what is our response? Our response, this bayan was too long. This is too long, too short. The accent of this speaker is not good. He doesn't speak with an American accent or a British accent or some accent. Huh? When he recited Quran, his tajweed was wrong. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. My brothers and sisters, the day will come when we will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone by ourselves, and where all of these things will come to haunt. Please understand. Make the right choices. The qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all about making the right choices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote destiny and then he gave it into our hands. We write our own destiny. How? By making the right choices. How do you make the right choices? By obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now, we believe in the Allah wal Qalam. Allah is the tablet, Allah al Mahfuz, the protected tablet, and Al Qalam is the pen. And in everything that is written on it, even if all created beings, all created creatures, whoever there are, every human, every jinn, every angel, everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, if all of them were to gather together to make something, to destroy something, to make it fail to exist, whose existence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written on the tablet, they would not be able to do that. And if all of them were to gather together to bring about and to create something which Allah has not written, that they will not be able to do that. The pen has dried, and having written down all that, it will be in existence until the day of judgment. Whatever a person has missed, he would never have got it, and whatever one gets, he would never have missed it. We believe also in Al-Arsh wal-Kursi. Al-Arsh is the throne, Al-Kursi is the chair or the footstool, and these are true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent of the throne and what is beneath it. He encompasses everything and is above it, and what He has created is incapable of encompassing Him. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. Allah said about Himself, He has made istiwa on the arsh. What exactly is istiwa? How does it, when we say Allah is on His arsh, what exactly does that on mean? All of these are questions that we do not ask, because these are questions that have no answers. We do not know the answers. There is no way of us finding out the answers. Inshallah, if Allah wills, one day we will see this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wished to tell us, He would have told us. See, in Surah Al-Isra, the people asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the ruh. They said, tell us about the ruh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the question. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you about the soul, about the ruh. قُلْ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah said, say to them, the soul is an amr, is an order of my Rabb. And you have been given, and Allah saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have been given from the ilm, from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but a little. Now the point here is, they asked, what is the soul? And Allah said, the soul is an order of your Rabb. And does it tell you what the soul is? This is the Jah and Jalal of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah is saying, what I have told you, I have told you. Stick to that. What you don't need to know, you don't need to know. Don't ask unnecessary questions. This is the meaning of this ayah. Not the literal meaning, but the substance behind it. So we know about the Arsh, the throne of Allah. What do we know? We know whatever Allah has told us. We know what the Kursi, what do we know? We know what Allah has told us. We know Allah is on His throne. What is the state? We don't know. And we don't ask. We believe without asking, bila kaif, without asking how. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, we know that Allah knows all that has happened and all that will happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the condition of His slaves. He knows their sustenance, He knows what they need, their appointed times of death, their good and evil deeds, and everything to do with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Verily, indeed, Allah has knowledge of everything. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hajj, Are you not aware that Allah knows all that is in the heavens and on earth? Verily, it is all in a record. Verily, that is easy for Allah. لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. In Surah Talaq, Allah said that you may know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over all things, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounds, comprehends, knows all things, and everything is in His knowledge. جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything. قَدْ عَلِمْنَا مَا تَنْقُصُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْهُمْ وَعِنْدَنَا كِتَابٌ حَفِيظٌ. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah said, we know that which the earth takes of them, their dead, and with us is a book preserved. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. In Surah Yasin, and all things we have counted up as a record in a clear book, and with us is a record that contains everything. We believe that only what Allah wills will happen, nothing else. Because Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Verily, Allah does what He wills. In Surah Al-Hajj, in Surah Takwir, Allah said, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And you do not will unless Allah wills, the Rabb of the worlds. We know and we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all things and all conditions. خَالِقُ كُلِّ أَشْيَاء وَالْأَحْوَالِ. Allah خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٍ. Allah is the creator of all things and He is the guardian over all things. In Surah Az-Zumar. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. In Surah Fatir, Allah said, O mankind, remember the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. Is there any creator other than Allah who produces for you from the sky and the earth? None has the right to be worshipped but He, Jalla Jalaluhu. How then do you turn away from Him? How then are you turning away from Him? My brothers and sisters, let us reflect on all of these things. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thinking about and remembering the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only helps us to be more obedient and to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way where inshallah He is pleased with us. I mentioned this earlier, but I want to reinforce that, which is qadar and ikhtiyar, destiny and free choice. The correct Islamic aqidah consists of believing in the qadr, which is preordainment or destiny of Allah, and to accept it and to be pleased with it. It also consists of understanding, accepting and believing that we have been given limited free choice and are free to choose one path or another, including a path opposing what Allah has shown us and advised us to follow. So Allah has given us the free choice. We can choose to disobey Allah or we can choose to obey Allah. For example, if Allah told us not to worship anyone other than Him, Allah told us that He has no partners and there is no one worthy of worship except Him. But we know that the majority of the world, 80% of the world or more, worships other than Allah. 80% of the world or more worships, joins partners with Allah. A large part of the population today denies Allah altogether. They are atheists. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not send His punishment on them. Allah does not stop their food. Allah does not stop their influence. Allah does not stop anything. They are healthy. They are wealthy. They may not be very wise, but they are healthy and wealthy. They get their food on time. They have jobs and everything else. Allah does not stop them. Allah has taught us and has told us what is right. وَهَدَيْنَا وَنَجْدَيْنَ. Allah said, we have shown you the two ways. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. If whoever wishes, let him believe and let him follow the right path. And whoever wishes, let him not believe and let him deny and let him follow the wrong path. In this world, Allah does not compel us. But Allah makes it clear for us where benefit lies and where loss lies, which is guidance and which is misguidance, which is good and which is bad, which is pious and beneficial and which is evil. All of these, there is no confusion. They have been made and they have been told very clearly through the Kitab of Allah, the Book of Allah, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and through Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his messenger and Rasul, last and final of them, after whom there is no messenger. And this has been Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's way from day one. From the time the first man, the first human being, Adam Alayhi Salaam, was created, and this will continue till the last day. All the prophets and messengers of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Adam and Nuh and Ibrahim and Isa and Musa and Isa and all the others, Yusuf and Yaqub and Sulaiman and Daud and all the others, alayhimus salam, may Allah may Allah's mercy be on all of them and peace be on all of them, and the last and final of them, Muhammadur Rasulullah, the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last and final messenger of Allah. All of them brought the same message without exception. Every one of them said, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Every Nabi said, follow me. And those who worshipped only Allah without joining partners, and who followed the Nabi, the Rasul, the Messenger, the Prophet of the time, were and are Muslims, and they will be in Jannah. Those who refused to follow those messengers, those who followed their own whims and fancies, those who followed their own creations, those who worshipped gods who they created or conceptualized or imagined, and so on and so forth, they are misguided, and they will not be in the same place as the Muslims. Now this is the order and hukum of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, as we know in our belief in Qadr, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala informs us of what is good for us, but Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala does not compel us to take what is good. It's up to us whether we want to take it or we don't want to take it. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, part of which I recited earlier, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, let him take, the truth is from your Rabb. قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And say, the truth is from your Rabb. Then whosoever wills, let him believe, and whosoever wills, let him disbelieve. And then Allah said, إِنَّا عَتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Allah said, and verily we have prepared for the zalimun, for the oppressors, a fire whose walls will surround it. Now, the thing to understand here is that we are free to choose, but every choice has a price tag, right? It's very, very important to understand this. We are free to choose, but every choice has a price tag. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala does not compel us to accept any particular way. Allah does not force us. It is given to us what we want to do, but it is, therefore, one cannot say that he has been compelled and therefore he is forced into Jahannam. No, we choose to go. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala told us, do not drink alcohol, it is bad for you. Even scientifically, physically, medically, it is bad for you. But of course, it's also bad for you because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala prohibited it. But Allah does not stop you from drinking alcohol. If you want to drink alcohol, if you want to continue to live your life like that, that is your choice. But at the end of your life, you will pay. Whichever way you did, you will pay for that. Every person is free to choose, but no choice is free. Every choice comes with a price tag. Now, I gave you the example of the fork in the road, and I said you take this right fork, it takes you somewhere. You take a left fork, it takes you somewhere else. Now, question is, supposing I take the right fork and it is taking me to a place I don't want to go to, what can I do? I can make a U-turn. In life, we are permitted to make U-turns until we reach death. So we are permitted to take a U-turn. That U-turn is called istighfar and tawbah. It is called repentance, and it is called turning towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So many times, it is possible that we may pick a path in life. We may be leading our lives in a particular way because we never gave it much thought, and then suddenly we get this realization and we say, SubhanAllah, I have been doing wrong all my life. I have not prayed all my life. Now I am so old. What should I do? Start praying, right? Let your prayer be imperfect. You can learn until the day you die. Tawbah, the door of tawbah and istighfar, the door of repentance and turning towards Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, remains open until you and I see Malakul Maut, until we meet the angel of death, which all of us will meet, whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not. Until then, the door of tawbah and istighfar is open. Let us take advantage of that and make tawbah right now. Don't wait till the end, because then we don't know what will happen and what will not happen. Pick the right road. So think about this. And once we are on the right road, let's stick to that. Right? Now, what is the right road? Right road is the road followed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the absolute guarantee. Anyone who follows the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on the right road. There is no doubt about this. So let us stick to that and follow that. And that right road is called the Sunnah. Right? Now, deeds influence conditions. So also in life we have the condition, we have the choice to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then our qadr is beautiful, and the life, we have a life of honor in this world and the next world. Or we can choose to disobey Allah, and our qadr will be disgrace in this world and Jahannam in the Akhirah. Both of these are choices that we can make. To be Muslim is to choose to live thoughtfully, choosing wisely and investing in the everlasting future. The fact that if you live a life which has a good investment in the everlasting future, this life will also give us a beautiful life in this world, is a bonus. For example, just think about it like this, which is that Rasulullah ﷺ told us that a smile is sadaqah. So if you smile at me, I smile at you, this is sadaqah, meaning that it has a benefit for me and you on the day of judgment. But smiling in the world itself produces good feeling about each other. It enhances and it supports friendship. So there is a positive effect in the dunya, and there is also a positive effect in the akhirah. Life is not a matter of living from sensation to sensation like animals, right? Human life has to be more than that. Think about your legacy. I think about my legacy, and what am I leaving behind? When I'm gone, what will I be remembered for? That should be something worthwhile. Not just living from sensation to sensation, right? Going from thrill to thrill. Anything for an adrenaline shot. I mean, what kind of life is that? That is the life of animals. Now, think about this. We die as we live. We cannot be living in a particular way and expect to die in the opposite way. We cannot live in the disobedience of Allah and expect to die with Iman, and vice versa. Right? Illa mashallah. Allah said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqati wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, fear the displeasure of Allah, have taqwa as it is His right that you should have His taqwa, and do not die except in a state of Islam with complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if we are going to follow this ayah, we have to follow the ayah. This is the ayah of hukum. Allah said, don't die except in a state of Islam. How will that happen? If I am living in a state of Islam. I cannot live in a state outside Islam and expect to die in Islam. I cannot live my life with a glass of whiskey in my hand and expect to die with the Quran in my hand. It will not happen. Right? Illa mashallah, it will not happen. My brothers and sisters, it is we come to a close of our session. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which is pleasing to Him, and to say and which is a source of benefit for us in this dunya wal akhirah, and to guard us against that which is a source of destruction and loss for us in the dunya and akhirah. And we ask Allah to save us from His anger. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to follow the sunnah of his beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all that we say and we do, and to make Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an intercessor for us on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we meet him on the Day of Judgment. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ نَسْتَغِيثُ أَصْلِحْ لَنَا شَأْنَنَا كُلَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ I want to close and end requesting you for dua, for your dua, for me and my wife, and for Allah, for our forgiveness. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept whatever we have done here in this class. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all the mistakes and the weaknesses in this, and to reward us and to guide us and to keep us in his safety and guidance. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.